ọkaka ka ị bụ. You are the great and mighty and awesome God, the incomparable God, the I am that I am, the one who knows the end of a matter from the very beginning. Father, we have come again. We have come again this modern Sunday. We have come to appreciate you. We have come to hear from you, O God. Mighty Jehovah, even though I am the one seen holding this microphone, but you are the unseen God who is present in our midst this morning. And I ask you to take over this microphone, Lord. I ask that you will speak to every one of us, mighty Jehovah. That at the end we will know that we have heard from our Father. At the end we will know that you have spoken to us. Look at us. We are so different. Father, we thank you. Be exalted, O God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. If you are happy to be here, can you just do something for Jesus? My little children, do something. Children, do something for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to use this opportunity to thank our daddies in the Lord. Oh, our dad, some of them are not here, but I thank them. I thank our daddy, Canon Professor Anusiem. I thank our daddy, Canon Professor Ona. I thank our daddy, Reverend Dr. Aniago. Praise the Lord. So, I also thank every one of us that is here this morning. It's not easy for us to be here. We know the challenges we are facing now in the nation. Some cannot even find transport money to move around. But you are here today because today is in your heart to be here to meet with the Lord. And the Lord for whom you have come today will not disappoint you. If you have not yet already received your own, you will receive it before you go this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. I also want to thank our supervisory bishop who has allowed me to be on this platform today, because if she said no, I won't be here. So I also appreciate her this morning. Praise the Lord. So the topic we have for our Modern Sunday this year, which I'm sure by now we all know, we have been hearing it repeated over and over. The topic is, behold, I and the children whom God has given me are for signs and wonders. And this topic is taken from Isaiah chapter 8, from verse 18a. This topic, I know it's really a topic that we need to hear at this time. Because of the way things are going. The situation right now, it's not just in Nigeria, it's all over the world. Things are not going well. Nigeria, we may be talking of insecurity, we may be talking of kidnapping here and there, we may be talking of decadence in our academic system, in our health system and the rest of them. But everywhere is facing its own challenges. When our daddy was talking to us on Wednesday, he was talking about the wars in Ukraine, wars in Gaza. And this is just part of it. Other places are facing all kinds of challenges. The other day, I was just looking at a post on the WhatsApp, and somebody was saying that we should recognize pedophiles. We know who pedophiles are, those who delight in having sex with underaged children. And that is just what they do. And they said we should accommodate them, that they were made like that. And they said that is how they were made. They cannot help themselves. So we should accommodate them. When people are moving that we should accommodate homosexuals and gay marriages, it's not surprising that we also hear that one. So there's a lot of moral and spiritual decadence right now in the world. And so there is need for us who say we are Christians to really stand out. Something has to show that we are different. And that is why we have this topic this morning. That is saying, behold, I and the children whom God has given me are for signs and wonders. Permit me, I may tell stories this morning, Bible story. I have some children here, and I'm sure they will like the story aspect. Because as I was preparing this message, I saw it in a way that I had not seen it before. And unless I tell this story, you may not appreciate what I'm saying. When we look at the topic, that you will talk of who is Who is saying this thing? Who is making this statement that we are seeing in Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18? And the person who is actually doing it, who we know, is Isaiah, prophet Isaiah. He is the one that wrote the whole book of Isaiah. And if you go through the book of Isaiah, you will see that that book is like three sections. It's talking about he's bringing out the sins of the people. He's making a case against the people. That's how it starts, which is case against the people, telling them all the things they have been doing. Talked of soothsaying, talked of people looking for bribes, talked of people looking for reward. And you know, that one is very common here. You do something for somebody, he wants a reward, she wants a reward. They call it all kinds of name now. Sometimes they will tell you now, appreciation. There was a time I was looking for something, you know, in UNEC, in the record admin section. Mommy, maybe you were not there then. They told me I should give them ego hayejigo tencha. They're very dusty. So it comes in all forms. And now we are even trying to accommodate it. We'll be saying, I don't give bribe, but I appreciate. Just marry me, I appreciate again. You know, because everybody wants reward. This is what God is saying. God is saying in the people of Israel and Judah. He was bringing out, he was bringing out their faults. He was bringing out the things that they were doing. And he was presenting it before them. It was like he was making a case against them. He was making a strong case against Israel. And at that time, he was saying, come, let us reason together. Because the case was very strong against Israel. You know, sometimes when you go to court, and the opponent is saying that this case, he will not win it. Or say, let us discuss out of court. My sister, your worship, I'm correct, right? He will say, let us discuss out of court. Because he's seen that this case is against him. And so they will go and discuss. And it's usually the person who is losing that will do that. But God is the one taking the step. He's not the one losing the case. He has a very strong case against Israel and Judah. And against all the other nations he was going to judge. But he said, come, let us reason together. Dekene, come nearer. Let us reason this case. Even if this is your sin, I've mentioned so many that... In fact, even though it is like this, let us see what we can do. Though it is so red, I will make it white as snow. That's the God we serve. A God of second chance. A God that never condemns us, no matter how bad we are. And that's what we are talking about today. That is Isaiah. That is the first part of that book of Isaiah. And then the next part, he was talking, these are a group of chapters that talk of each issue. The next part, he was talking about the judgment that God was going to bring on Israel, on Judah, and even those nations that he used to bring that punishment on them. He started talking about what he will do. And then the last part, he talked about how he's going to bring them, telling them that there is hope. Even though you have been tried and found wanting, and the judgment will surely come, but there is hope. There is hope. There is still hope for the remnants. There is still hope. And that is what the whole package of that book is all about. And this part that we're talking about is in Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18. Isaiah was speaking to the people of Judah. Isaiah mainly was a prophet to the people of Judah. At that time, Judah and Israel were already separated. I told you I would tell stories, bear with me. They were already separated. And Isaiah was a prophet that was mainly ministering, bringing his message to the people of Judah. Isaiah was giving these messages between the time of King Uzziah and King Hezekiah that we know. So Uzziah was there, Jotham was there, Ahaz after Jotham, and then after Ahaz we had Hezekiah that we know. And during this period, Isaiah was giving his prophecies against the people of Judah. Isaiah, as I looked at the Bible commentary, I was told that he is likely, they are feeling that he is from the royal family, that he is a cousin to King Uzziah, and that was why he had access to the kings. He will come in boldly, he will drop his message, and he will leave without fear of anybody. That was Isaiah for you. Isaiah was married to a prophetess and he had two children. He had two children whose names we'll see later and understand how it links to our topic. So Isaiah was a man that God used. And he kept prophesying until when we got to chapter 6. In chapter 6, Isaiah met with the Lord. This was somebody who has been prophesying. Even in chapter 5, he kept saying, woe to this, woe to that, woe, 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 woe was everywhere in chapter 5. But in chapter 6, the Bible said, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Exalted high upon the worship of the people of the earth, I see the Lord. I see the Lord. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forevermore. So Isaiah saw the King. He was chanced to come into the throne room of heaven. And he saw God in his glory, seated upon his throne. And the angels were shouting, holy, holy. Hey, Kaba. These angels were shouting, holy. And he said, the glory of the Lord filled the whole temple. How could he remain the same after this experience? And from then he became, you could see him now, giving his prophecies in another dimension. He began to talk about the coming of the Christ. He began to mention about this hope for Israel and Judah. You could see that there was an impact. Something has happened in his life. And that is what we need. It's not enough that we have been children of God though. Maybe from since your primary school or since your secondary school. Or like some people will tell me. I was talking to somebody last week and he said, I have always been saved. It's not enough for you to say that. You have always been saved or you have been saved for so long. You need a touch. You need the impact of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need an encounter as Isaiah did. We're talking of the times that we are in. Difficult times they are. Everybody agrees with me. We need an encounter. I need an encounter. We need an encounter as Isaiah did. And the moment he had that encounter, his story changed. He began to talk about the Messiah to come. Praise the Lord. So Isaiah, we have said he was married to a prophetess. We have said he had two sons whose names were prophetically given. We're still coming to that. Isaiah, we have also said, was speaking to the people of Judah. And the circumstances that led to this particular verse that we have as our topic for today was the story of King Ahaz. In this book of Isaiah, this story started in chapter 7. But you also see the full details of the story in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 1 to 18, and 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1 to 26, because everything is not mentioned in that book account in Isaiah. When you now read the other parts, you'll be able to understand better what happened. Ahaz was the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah. And Ahaz, when the Bible talked of Uzziah, they said Uzziah did things that were good in the sight of the eye, but he did not do everything well. At least he did some good things. The same thing with Jotham. Jotham did also like his father. But Ahaz was a different kettle of fish. Ahaz was an evil king. Ahaz was sacrificing on every altar. Sacrificing to Baals. He was pouring incense. And worst of all, he was even sacrificing his children. To know the kind of person Ahaz is. A thing that God said, don't ever do. Don't imitate the people that you are taking their land. God said, don't ever do it. And Ahaz was doing this to show you how terrible a person Ahaz was. Now, the story continues. God decided to judge Judah, but the time had not yet come, actually. The Israel, which was a worse, permit me to use that word, they were worse than Judah. That's how God does sometimes. He will allow people that you are better than to come and deal with you. And so he allowed Israel, that was even worse than Judah, to come to attack. And Israel formed an alliance. You know, in those days, it was a battle for power. So they formed an alliance with the king of Syria. And the whole target was against Assyria, which was a formidable force, was a strong force. So some nations, they would gather them, but Judah didn't join. And so they decided to come and attack Judah. And you can imagine, Israel, Bunwanne Judah. There was a time when, you know, they kidnapped them and they got them and God said, no, these people are your Bunwanne. Take them back. Don't use them as slaves. So these people went and to fight Omoneha, Israel, connived with Syria to come and fight their people. And they were winning some grounds. Because they were winning some grounds, Ahaz was worried. Ahaz was seriously worried. And in fact, they had besieged Jerusalem, which was the capital at that time. You know, sometimes we hear the Fulani people, they are besieged, they are here, they are every entrance to Enugu. It was something like that. They have besieged Judah. And Ahaz was naturally scared, naturally afraid, especially as he had no relationship with God. But in the midst of all this, oh, this God is a loving and merciful God. In the midst of everything, no reason for which God should even marry Ebere. Still, God sent Isaiah to him. Isaiah, he told him to go with his first son, whose name I will later call. But the meaning of that, his name, is a remnant will return. And so he told him to go with that his son, to go and meet Ahaz. And go and tell him, this alliance, this plan, because at that time, Syria and Israel were planning to remove the king and put their own king. Put a king who will be like a stooge. That was their plan. So God sent message through Isaiah to Judah, to Ahaz, to tell him that this alliance will not stand. It will not stand. Chineke ekwugie. Ekwugo ya. Edego ya na akwụkwọ. So, he has said it. It will not stand. But Ahaz, in his heart, did not really believe. Because God said, tell me the sign. Give me the sign you want me to give you. You can imagine. God, Abekute Iketa, Sege, by this time, next year, I got 20 million account. Yes, I'm signing. We will quickly give sign like Gideon that didn't even wait to be asked. Gave his own sign that he wanted. So God gave him, said, give me a sign. And when I do that, and you will see that what I said will surely come to happen. Nezeno Ahaz. Ahaz said, no, I will not give you any sign. How can I test God? Napano Ahaz na righteousness. How can I test God? Yeah? So, of course, God sees our hearts. And he knows what is in our heart. And he said, okay, you won't give me a sign, I will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. And we know who that is talking about. So you want not to tell me the sign you want me to give you. I will now give you a sign. And God did just that. And so, to even buttress it, God told Isaiah to write this thing down. He told Isaiah, said, write it down. Get people who will put it into writing. That before that, you know, he gave him a name of the book he's going to write. He called it Mahashalal Hashbaz. Speed to the spoil. Hasten to the booty. That's the meaning of that name. That he was supposed to call what he was writing. And as he began to obey God, God said he had a child. Isaiah had a child. That his wife took him and was pregnant. And God said, this child, you will call him Mahashalal Hashbaz. You will call him the name, that name. Speed to the spoil, hasten to the booty. That's what God is saying there, is that this thing I said will soon come to happen. In fact, he even told him, this child that is born, before this child will be able to say mama or papa, this thing I said will happen. You can imagine how short the judgment was about to happen. And that is how that young boy became a sign. His name was a sign. Mahashalal Hashbaz. Speed to the spoil, hasten to the booty. God was telling him that Assyria is going to attack Israel and attack Judah. It's going to attack Israel and attack Syria. And it's going to scatter them. They will not be able to come and do that thing they want to do. That was what God was telling him. And because he did not agree, he did not act in faith, God even told him that when they finish, Assyria will also come to attack him. Because after God told him, Ahaz did not believe God. He believed that he could go and form an alliance or go and seek for help from Assyria, who was the all and all. We remember Sennacherib. He was an Assyrian. Okay, we have the military power they had. So he felt that Najemeh alliance with Assyria, he will be safe. He felt he would be safe. Not knowing that God has already planned what he would do. So he carried out the things in the temple and gave it to the king of Assyria and said, come and help me. King of Assyria came and did what God had planned for him to do in the first place. And Ahaz, this foolish king, went to Damascus, the capital of Syria, happy that these people have left me. And he went there and he... If you don't understand Igbo, sorry. I don't know how to say it in English. There was a shrine there in that place, and he began to admire the shrine. Shrine that could not deliver them. Shrine and sent the message to Egypt, to Judah. They should build that shrine for him. And that is what we are seeing now. People are going back and saying, let me go, let us go to the God of our fathers. Since you have been serving him, it's only to put a heavy yoke on you. Put a heavy yoke, and people will say, let us go. This was the kind of, because even I now agree, which are very far away. A God that could not help the people of Syria, or where come Patania, they are nowhere in Israel, maybe. These are the kind of things we see. So, God told him that because he did not believe, because you preferred, you left the waters of Judah, wonderful ones, and you preferred to go and seek help from Assyria, Assyria will still come for you. It will still come for you. So, the name was a sign. He had two children. The first one, I will still get to where his name is. That one, the meaning of that, his name is a remnant will return. You know, I told you that the book is written in three parts. A remnant will return. After they take them to exile, a remnant will return. And even Isaiah himself, his name was even a sign. His name is God Saves. The Lord Saves. And then his last child is this one that they said, speed to the spoil, hasten to the booty. So that each time, speed up! That was the sign. So that each time that name is called, you will remember that God has said something. And that brings me to the question, what is a sign? A sign is a gesture or action used to convey information or an instruction to somebody. Where I work in a lab. We have what we call signages. You have arrow telling you take this way. You have sign of glove with a cross, said don't drop your gloves there. You have sign on the fridge that we use. You will see like a teacup and they will put a cross. It means don't put anything edible there. So without anybody saying anything, once you see the sign, you know what it's saying. So signs are used to send a message. And it is said that a good mother learns the art of speaking to her children with signs. We know then, when we were small, if a visitor should come to this house, your mother will use eye. Omega and Yotua, I'm going to hold a kubu. Move, disappear, gabaru moon. Only dream, if I go need the when so stay and kitty on the leg, I will go give home. Visitor, there or ne in impulapo, mother and any kitchen gum, any biscuits. On your hand, I said, there were or turn out to Mamagi, Draponia, call well, or Mamagi, and I said, well, no, there were no chupa and I said, I'm one one. I don't try it. When I got ever parents, well, no, well, no, 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 well, no, no. But no, we look at sign. Gwagi, don't even try that at all. So signs are very powerful. And God also uses signs a lot. Through the scriptures, you see so many signs. Even from Genesis. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 4. He said, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years. Remember when the three wise men were looking for the king? It was the sign of the star that they saw. Genesis chapter 9 verse 13. He said, I have set my rainbow in the cloud, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It was a sign. Anytime you see the rainbow, God is saying something. God didn't come and say, hey, former, I will not destroy the world like this again. But anytime the former sees the rainbow, she knows that this is what God is saying. So God has used signs severally in the Bible. And even in Judges, we talked about that one, 36 to 40, Gideon and the fleece. Sometimes God allows you to make your own, to give your own. And many of us have done that. Chineke open echo kanjeba. Ekanka amekwa. And God is merciful. He will just honor it. Gideon did a similar thing. And God honored it. So, and of course, the story that we are talking about, God said, tell me the sign you want me to give you. And he refused to give. In John chapter 11, verse 47, he says, then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? They asked. Here is this man performing many signs. Jesus did a lot of signs. The miracles he was doing were signs. There was a time they were saying, this man, you know, he's a sinner. And they said, no, if this man is a sinner, he can't be doing all these signs, all these things that he's doing. So these things he was doing was pointing to the fact, it was a sign that this man is not an ordinary man. He's not like any other prophet they have seen. There is something about him. So he did so many miracles. They were signs. Those miracles were signs of who he is. And then in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 18, it says there, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be doomed. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This passage, Jesus told us, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. When these things are happening and people see, they know that this Bible is true. When in the midst of these difficult times, everybody is complaining, arise, but the 90 something thousand. Now, Mano doesn't have 50 something. It's a sign that God's word is true. That God's word is true. They say you are not up here now. I know of a sister actually. She's a widow. She's a widow. She lost her husband. But when she lost her husband, God said, stop your work. And from that time, I'm sure it's up to 20 years now she lost her. It's more than 20 years. She's not been working. And God has sustained her. I know of two people like that. In fact, one of them, she told me that God, at the time, she went for a retreat with her children, and God told her, tell these children to write down. These children, they are angry with me. And she turned and said, are you angry with God? I said, yes. Why did he take our daddy? Why did he take our... I said, okay. God said, okay, tell them to write. He married her, and that if your daddy was alive, he would be doing it for you. Write it down. And they wrote the whole list down. One of them was a car. My sister said that when her husband was alive, they didn't even have car. But these children felt that they needed car, and they put car. And do you know, as they were coming back from that prayer retreat, somebody called them and gave them a car. And these things are signs that God is alive. This thing that the Bible is saying is not a lie. When God begins to do these things for you, it's a sign. You don't keep quiet, you testify. Even among the heathen, you tell them what God has done for you. It's a sign that God is true. It's a sign that this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is still the same God today. He has not changed at all. Praise the Lord. So he said that this sign shall follow them. And I remember in Matthew chapter 28, in that great commission, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. I want to bring out that is in obeying God, in going out to reach out to the lost souls, that we will see more of these signs manifesting in our life. When I speak to people, I'm talking to somebody who is a child of God, and I say, okay, since you gave your life, how many people have you talked to about Jesus? And they're like, This is what we are supposed to, that is why, he says this signs shall follow us. It is when you go for evangelism, when you make disciples. And making disciples is not just give your life to Christ and the person says, I want to give my life to Christ. That's not all about it. Mana, the actual discipling is another thing. It's not enough that somebody says, I give my life to Christ under your message. That person is the person standing. We have planted so many churches. Are they standing? That is making disciples. They have to stand. It's not go and preach. It's not just go and preach is part of your. It said make disciples. Go and make disciples. Not go and just preach. Go and make disciples of all nations. And it is in going to do this that these signs will be following you. That you will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. That maybe we're quite going only in the process. Send the arrogant worm or send the arrogant scorpion or anything. This arrogant or scorpion can be anything. Some people, you will come into their community to preach them. You check one again, they are busy sending you arrows. A sister was sharing of a testimony of how she came to preach in a gathering. And somebody was sending arrow from the congregation. Was sending arrow to her. She didn't even know what was happening. She was busy giving her message. The arrow came and hit her, bounced back and went to the woman. And the woman fell down. The young girl fell down. That was how she knew. The girl started confessing what she came to do. And then they preached. Amaron, an arrow was sent to her. So these arrows are like these snakes and scorpions. May not be physical snakes or scorpions. Arrows that people are sending when you're on the mission field. It says they will not hurt you. In fact, nothing will by any means hurt you. Any means whatsoever. As long as you are on assignment. As long as you are on assignment, stop running your HIV and you just fold your hands and fold your legs. And that is it. We have this very good opportunity of going to the world. Some of us are shy. I am a rocky. As you keep doing this thing, you learn. Boldness comes in. On your own, if you don't make it, these signs shall follow them that go to make disciples. Praise the Lord. So, this word that we saw in Mark chapter 16, 15, 18, where it says, these signs shall follow us. It confirms God's word that he has given us power to become his sons. A sign is to show you had a non-verbal communication. So it's telling you, when those signs are following, you know that it tells people that you are a child of God. Because the Bible says, to them that believed, he gave the power to be called the sons of God. So the manifestations of these signs that we are talking about is what shows that you have received this power. People will try you. Haga wage ha wachage, they won't get you. Or malo that now you are not an ordinary human being. Then we're power not behind you. We will now look at that passage. I don't think I will end without looking at the passage from Isaiah chapter 8, from verse 11. I will take it down to 22. Say, for the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of these people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom these people shall say, a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hided his face from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people speak unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestirred and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God, and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Praise the Lord. God is telling Isaiah in this place, chapter 8, verse 11 to 12, says, don't fear what they fear. Don't fear that rice na abageno. I'm guilty of this every day. I have to tell myself, calm down. Especially as we have a burial ahead of us. I have to tell myself, calm down. Calm down. And my husband will say, the Lord will do it. I say, yes, I agree. The Lord will do it. My husband will say, the Lord will do it. I say, yes, I will agree with him. The Lord will do it. Yes, he will do it. You know? So, don't fear what they fear. You have a God who is above the economy of the world. Let me not just use Nigeria. Nigeria, Epeka. He is above the economy of the world. Don't fear what they fear. Don't fear what they fear. Because sometimes a lot of things we do are as a result of fear. We run helter-skelter because of fear. Say, fear God only. Fear God only. It says in verse 14 to 15, it says, many will stumble and fall over this rock. And we know that rock is Jesus. He is the rock of offense that the Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. He is a rock of offense to those who do not believe. When you don't believe, it becomes a rock of offense. But when you believe, you can sing that song. My stone of help, only you are my helper. So he becomes a rock, a solid rock behind you when you believe. But when you don't believe, it's in hane ekulupa kahasi ekupa, ane ekwisin he ekwegupa. Then you will not enjoy what God has planned for you. It says in verse 17 and 18. Isaiah has proposed to wait upon the Lord to look for him. He declares that he and the children the Lord has given him are for signs and wonders. We have talked about how they were for signs. Shear Jeshub, that's the name of the first one. And it means a remnant shall return. Mahashalal Hashbaz, speed the spoil. Their names alone was a sign. That anytime those names are called, you remember what God has said. And he declared that he and his children, he and the children the Lord has given him, are for signs and wonders. Said he and the children the Lord has given him. We are still coming to that. That this thing you are talking about, it has to be you first. A version says, here I am. Ye present, go do unwege. You can't be talking of your children when you yourself has not presented yourself. The Lord has not yet come into your life. You have not known this Lord personally. And you are talking of your children being signs. Sign first to your children before we talk of your children becoming signs. So, in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 to 20, I want to read that from the Message Bible. It says, when people tell you, try out the fortune tellers, consult the spiritualists, why not tap into the spirit world? Get in touch with the dead. Answer Igenya has said, tell them, no, we are going to study the scriptures. No, we are going to study the scriptures. People who try the other ways get nowhere. A dead end. Frustrated and famished. They try one thing after another. When nothing works out, they get angry. Cursing first this God and then that one. Looking this way and that. Up, down, sideways and seeing nothing. A blank wall, an empty hole. They end up in the dark with nothing. So, that is what we see. People are going helter-skelter because you have refused to believe the word of God. In my problem, is this Ozubo spirit. Isaiah, see, I will wait on the Lord. I had already to wait. It's not easy to wait, but it's a practice that we must all begin to do. Even when you pray, you finish praying, you wait. Wait on Him. Don't just jump up and go your way. We want it Ozubo. And that is why people are moving up and down. They are moving up and down. They think it's in the water. I say they are not going to sagar on a miri. I say sagar with special soap. What did he say here? He said when they are enticing you. Okay, if we can you wanna be see, when you have a problem, and present one day's boom matter, like the drama we were watching. He said, when they come like that, you should say what? No. And what follows the no? What follows the no? Children, are you hearing? What follows the no, children? We will study the word of God. We are doing Bible reading challenge. I don't know how many of us are keen into these things. It's training, no? Don't underestimate the training of only look what simple. But it's a big training. A big training. You have missed some days. Today is me and this Bible today. It's a training. No, I will study the word. We are not exhibiting these signs. People are not seeing the miraculous signs. Are not seeing what God is doing in our life. Because we don't even know what God's word is saying. Now come on, we man know God's word. You will wake away and wait on Him. You will wake away and wait today. When I say, God, your word says this, I'm holding on to you. It will be so in my life. And it's not enough that you come to church. Yes, thank God, faith comes by hearing. That's good. And I want to encourage us to come to church. Don't miss church activities. And then midweek, this is so scanty. Very scanty. And I go before that. And people think it's because naibu ukochiku, naibu unyo ukochiku. See us here, we didn't give our life as ukochiku. We were in fellowships. My sister can attest. We were in fellowships on campus. And even when we got married, we were in Christ Redemption, we were active. I was a zonal leader. We were going for all those things. When you come, you hear. You hear. I'm not behind age week to week. You very busy. And you will have a very genuine reason in your own ears why you should not come. Man, when you make up your mind that away for a hanger, dear. Be back at the back. Ekwensa semba, karapu onye anuwa. Na onye abukwa keke si asu ya. no go area. After no yeah, longer next a week, you know, more better strength and why well or not chai ya. Because let's face another target. I chose. So you keep at it. You need to be where you'll be hearing the word of God. Sunday medicine is not enough. It's not enough. Come and hear the word of God, my people, my children of God. Come and hear God speak to you. No matter your age class, there is no age that is above God's word. And there is no age that is beyond God's word. Even the little children. Even the little children. Look at these words from the one time they were born. After how Bulugo sign. What a clean name to it on now, no affair. Look at that, daddy came in of here. Oh, worry, I see what God has said. But preaching a bit of what? Some of us, we call our children after them were in order. After them were in order, we just be calling them. Makanena, no Linda. And now, Polinda. And no, can we, Baba? Tomorrow meaning. You won't give these children names that have meaning. In what you can see from there, you will share why this name came. Testimony a bit of what? Now God answers prayer. Oh, come back here, do so. Kai juwe baga fanua. And the thing goes, okwe for chim nazebele wama. And were the circumstances around her death that made me to call her chim nazebele. So she, we always know that chim nazebele. All of them, all my children, were the circumstances that carry their names. So come and hear the word of God. Una has in a church. Your personal one will begin to blossom. Because you will take it back and go and practice it. You couldn't pray up. I was speaking to somebody some weeks back in my office. I usually talk to interns. They are under my watch. They bring them to me. So I sit them down. And they say, I keep that phone. So I was talking to one of them, and he said that his problem is that, you know, when he wants to pray, he will just pray, he won't even pray up to 5 minutes. He has, even that 5 minutes said his attention is not there. There are so many things, even that problem he wanted to pray about, he will just be remembering it. This one, and he ended up not praying. It is when I encourage him. But what I want to tell us is, it is when you are coming to church and hearing the word of God. Practical. Imagine how to handle such things when they come your way. Because what will the one you come to church to hear will help you for your wardrobe, your inner life. It will help in your inner life, which is what will make you to blossom and begin to bring out those signs we are talking of. Praise the Lord. So, to be a sign and wonder, Matthew 28:19-20 tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. We start with our home, our Jerusalem, our children and world must be discipled for Christ. Your life affects the people you are raising. Your life affects the people you are raising. You cannot give what you do not have. In Matthew 7:17-18, that place is talking about the tree will bear what it is. Vine get what put here up. Fig get what put in up. A mark orange. Yes, certain orange get nyege mango. So it is what you are that you'll be seeing manifesting in your children. It is where you know, that's what you will see in them. Sometimes I see some things in my children, I see it in myself. I don't want to talk about them because I'm ashamed of them. I see myself. I see them doing some things. I know I'm not meant for. And one sister was telling us in the program. She said, "Open and kegi bo in emi ewante eh na heka haga abu times two. Na keha haga abu times two. So we start with ourselves. Work on yourself. Work on yourself, so that it can make an impact in the life of your children. So. Also, to be able to be sign and wonder, to be a sign, we need to be still. I needed to be still. I am Hugo Makia, being quiet before God. Don't be in a hurry. The people of Israel, God told them, He said, "Be still and know that I am the Lord. Be still and see the deliverance. Be still and see the deliverance that you win." And in Psalm 46, He says, "Be still and know that I am the Lord."
So when open it, draw quiet. Open it, half of that problem to overwhelm you, and even your thinking that you can't even pray, you will not be able to see yourself manifesting the sign that God wants to show through the victory you will have in that problem. We need a life of prayer. You cannot be a sign and wonder without a healthy prayer life, not an epileptic one. Nke bụ na akpasu oge iwe ọkụ anyọ. Ama ekpesikwa ekpere anwa that day. You know. So we work on ourselves to be able to pray as at when we should. And try to be faithful. Ọkwa ifu this God. God keeps covenant. He keeps time. Isi anọ time a. Ọ nọ mgbasị ahụ mgbe ahụ na-eche gị. And he likes it. He shows that ni ifolia does. You are putting first. Then, relationship with God is also important. And here, I want to ask us, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your life? These things we are talking about, sign and wonder, it cannot follow you. You may be enjoying some good things. Like somebody I was talking to said, I asked him, how do you now know that you are a child of God? He says, everything is going well for me. I'll ask God for this one. Amen. Everything is going well. Everything may be going well, but everything is not well. Everything may be going on well, but everything is not well with you. The Bible says that His kindness leads us to repentance. Now God will show you kindness. Like the people of Judah. Oh, show you Ahaz's kindness. Oh, meaning everything the well with Ahaz. It didn't mean so. So, that God is showing you kindness doesn't mean that all is well with you. If we have not accepted this Jesus, if you have never at any point in time in your life opened the door of your heart and said, Jesus, come in. Jesus is not inside your heart, He is outside. Because Revelation 3:20 tells us without mixing words. He said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart knocking. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. And the Bible does not lie. God will not force Himself into your heart. You have to willingly, consciously, deliberately open that door. It's not my father is a priest. It's not I was baptized. It's not I come to church, I come to midweek, I come for everything. You must open the door. You must consciously one day say, Lord, I am a sinner. I hope you're not like the young man that said that he has always been saved. Because probably you found yourself, your parents were Christians, and you found yourself in a Christian home. Especially the teens and the children. And then you think that because of that, you are a child of God. This step is a step that everybody must take before you can answer that name, child of God. And before you can begin to manifest the signs and wonders we are talking about. The Lord's desire is to make you and your children a sign and wonder in Nigeria, a sign and wonder in Enugu, a sign and wonder in your workplace. But He cannot accomplish this if you have not given yourself to Him. Now is the perfect time to do so. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2b, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't say, I will do it tomorrow, for tomorrow is not in your hands. Let us pray. A charge to keep I have, a goal to glorify, a never-dying soul to save, a fitted for the sky. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save, a fitted for the sky. If you know you want to give your life to Christ, if you know you have never done this before in your life, or you are not even sure, you did it but you didn't do it seriously,
And today you want to do it well. You want your name to be written in the book of people who will be signs and wonders. Can you just raise up your hand so that you can pray?
Just make this prayer sincerely with me from your heart. Lord God, you have loved me, and that is why you gave Jesus to die in my place. I recognize I am a sinner. I cannot help myself. I beg your forgiveness. Because Jesus died in my place, Lord, forgive me. Lord, receive me. I expect your salvation because of his sacrifice, because he took my place. I am putting no confidence in how good I could ever be, or in the good church that I attend, or in the rites that have been performed in the church on me. My confidence is only that Jesus died in my place and rose again that I be justified. Jesus, come into my heart. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I welcome you. Take your place as Lord. Thank you for receiving me. In the name of Jesus. Merciful Father, let now the witness of your Spirit be heavy in the spirits of each one of these, that now they are the children of God. Let the release of power to walk in purity, in holiness, the release of power to walk controlled by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. This power to understand the mind of God, let it manifest in each one of them now, along with boldness to testify daily for the Lord Jesus. Every hold, every grip of the enemy over these lives, by the blood of Jesus, we break them one by one, and we proclaim them free to walk in the Lord, to walk in the ways of the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let us press on. Thank you.